Let me welcome honorable members and the minister, the department, and everyone else. Today, we'll be getting responses by the department on the submissions that were made last week for 2 days on the 29th and the 30th, whereby we had several submissions, and now today we are going to be listening to the department once the response, in their response, and also the interaction by the members of the committee and the department. But before we proceed, can we get apologies?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members, Minister and the department. We have received two apologies from the members of the committee. It's one from Honorable Tekana, who has been with at home, and the other one is from Honorable Pose. She's got another commitment. And then from the department, we have received a letter of apology from the Deputy Minister, who was at home. She's on sick leave. Thank you.
Okay, it's not an apology, but Helen Lamula will be late.
Thank you for the apologies. Can I then allow, do you have an apology, Honourable Fana Mervin?
Thank you, Chairperson. As stated, I just would like to apologise that I'll be away for a short while to attend the Chief Whip's Forum, but I will be back. Thank you.
Can I ask the department if there are any apologies? Honourable Minister?
Yes, Chair, I do have an apology. I would like to apologise, Chair, to the Honourable Members. I will not be here after my presentation. Today, tomorrow and Friday, there is an important meeting of the African Union ministers responsible for gender. I did apologize that I can't make it today because I wanted to be here, even just for a short while. So I will, however, leave the members with the team led by the DG, and my special advisor. We also have the DDGs and our team from research and policy that will be able to make the presentation and answer the questions from Honourable Members.
Thank you, Minister. Well, with those apologies, I think we can then proceed without wasting any more time. I will hand over to the Minister.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Ms. Dorothy Ramudibe, honorable members of the committee, officials led by the DG, Veliswa Baduza from my department, members of the media. Chairperson, thank you for affording us as the Department for Women, Children, and People with Disabilities, an opportunity to respond to the many comments, concerns, and recommendations that were made by organizations and members of the public on the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill, the WEGI Bill. One of the most important and beautiful things about our democracy, founded on the supreme law of the Republic, the Constitution, is that all citizens irrespective of their persuasion, or are assured of the right to have their voices heard. Indeed, we are encouraged and humbled that many participants, from women in rural areas to research institutions, took advantage of the parliamentary public hearings and participated in the process to ensure that their views are considered as we work on finalizing the working bill. I can attest that the enthusiasm with which presenters advocated for the consideration of their concerns during the public hearings that were held here last week was echoed time and again when this department held its consultative meetings on the wage bill across all 9 provinces. What has become quite clear is that, irrespective of whatever reservations some people may hold on the wage bill, many agree that despite the transformative laws that have been passed by this government, which advocate for the advancement of women, there is a need for an intervention to bridge the gap between policy and realities of women on the ground. The working bill is intended to do just that. As expected, there were a number of critical points that were made, and as the department, we spent a great deal of time in the last 5 days carefully considering all the submissions, as will be attested to by the report that will be tabled by the department. Key among the issues raised in the public hearings was the concern that the wage bill in its current form posed a duplication with other laws, and the functions of the Commission for Gender Equality. The lack of implementation of existing legislation and the failure of the bill to incorporate intersectionality of different sectors, that disadvantage women such as race, gender, sexual orientation, sex work, and unpaid labor. I can assure this committee that I have already engaged with various ministers during our deliberations in cabinet, and also when we had one-on-one meetings, particularly with the Minister of Labor and her advisors, the Minister of Justice and Deputy Minister of Justice, the Minister of Trade and Industry, and their advisors. We have been able, therefore, to iron out areas of concern or alleged duplication with the minister, and we have agreed to cooperate so that we do not create unnecessary reporting processes for the designated bodies. I also want to assure honorable members that cabinet would not have approved this bill. In fact, this is why it took so long while cabinet was deliberating on all these areas, sensitive areas, until October. It would not have approved this bill for parliament submission to parliament if there were still concerns by the ministers that we are duplicating their areas of focus. The department will therefore give a detailed response to this committee on the submissions and public hearings to the portfolio committee. I therefore submit, Chairperson, that we have consulted thoroughly, both with the public and the private sector, but also with NGOs, even before we submitted the bill to Parliament, but also we have consulted thoroughly with ministers and their advisors on any duplications, and we are assured, together with especially the ministers that have been mentioned, trade and industry, labor, justice, that there definitely will be no duplication in terms of areas where we need to cooperate. We have agreed and have planned mechanisms how we will make sure that we don't give onerous work to companies or to NGOs and the public sector. With those few words, Chairperson, I will hand over to the DG and the department, if you so wish, to give the detailed report of the department, response of the department.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. We will then proceed with the input from the DG. I'm not sure. Find out from members if maybe there is, you know, a clarity that we seek from the minister before she leaves. Maybe before I hand over to the DG, and if not, then we will proceed with the DG's. Okay, perhaps they will arise as we move to the department. Over to you, DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and group of members and ministers. And we like to take this opportunity and thank the portfolio committee for giving us an opportunity to come and respond to the submissions that were given in the last 2 days where we public hearings were held last week. What we have done as the department is to go through the submissions that were given, and what we have done is to cluster the submissions in terms of the bill according to the sections of the bill, starting from section 1, the definitions. So what we did then is to say, under definitions, what were submissions that were made, what was the content of the submissions, and we considered the submissions, and we deliberated on them, and we agreed on how we would approach them. Some of the submissions that were submitted, we agreed with them, and we indicated how we are going to deal with them. And some of the submissions where we do not completely agree with them, we also indicated why, we've given reasons why. And we are confident that that process will assist the honorable members to deliberate further on the submitted bill. As Minister has already alluded to, when the bill was being drafted, before we even went to the cabinet, submitted to the cabinet, we consulted widely throughout the country. We, at that stage, we also consulted women from various sectors. We would have women in business, we would have women in media. We had those stakeholder sessions with women to take them through the bill. And after the bill was approved by cabinet and submitted to parliament, we also went further to consult with women throughout the provinces, and we called women from various sectors, women in agriculture, women who are widowed, women who are in business. Once again, they responded to those calls, and they sat with us, and we deliberated across all 9 provinces. We engaged with women. So we had consulted widely, Chairperson and honorable members, on the bill, we believe. What then we will propose, Chairperson, in terms of presenting our responses to the portfolio committee, is that Advocate Joyce Maluleke, who is a special advisor to the minister, who has been very closely linked and assisted us tremendously in terms of this process of developing this legislation, will take the honorable members through our responses. With your permission, honorable chair members, I will hand over to Advocate Maluleke.
Thank you, Chairperson.
the preamble, there were no inputs presented for. Under section 1, there were lots of inputs. For example, the Commission on Gender Equality, Triangle Project, International Liaison and Dialogue, Research, SWET, recommended that all the definitions or definition list must be extended to embrace the LGBTI, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, and intersexual individuals. As a department, we do not have any objection. So we are saying the definition. As a department, we do not object to amending the definition of gender-based violence, because that is where they are most affected. However, there are areas where we object to including or incorporating LGBTI for reasons that we will give as we go through. But we do not have a problem in terms of incorporating LGBTI under the definition of gender-based violence. The second submission was from the CGE, which recommends a broader definition of what constitutes empowerment. Referring to section 9.2 will lead to a narrow application of empowerment. However, we object to defining empowerment because the bill is focusing on women empowerment, because empowerment is empowerment generally, but we are talking about women empowerment, and women empowerment is defined in the bill. Sonke, gender justice. The Southern African Liaison Office, they submitted that the definition of gender-based violence should be extended to include acts of violence committed against LGBTI as they constitute a group of people disadvantaged by unfair discrimination historically and currently due to the actual or perceived sexual orientation or gender identity. And their reason was that the definition excludes violence against LGBTI, violence committed to LGBTI amount to gender-based violence as it is committed on the basis that the targeted person does not conform to socially and culturally norms. As indicated earlier on, that the department doesn't object to incorporating the definition, to incorporating LGBTI to the definition of gender-based violence. Songe, gender justice again, they submitted that gender discrimination definition should be revised and must include LGBTI who are subject to discrimination, as stated above. The department doesn't object to that. It will be incorporated by the drafter. Songe and Business Engage, they had few submissions here. Gender equality be amended to explicitly state that women and girls constitute a group of people disadvantaged by unfair discrimination, and that gender equality is sought to provide women and girls with equality in terms of rights and access, which they continue to be denied. Their reason was that the definition of gender equality is generally accepted, but it is also a gender-neutral definition of the term. The department then said it objects because the current definition is already aligned to that of the SADC protocol. Some of the submissions were saying that the bill doesn't incorporate international agreements like UCEDAW and the SADC protocol. However, in the definitions, some of them, we've just taken them as they are from some of the protocols.
be an alignment even when we report to those international institutions. Sonke and the Retail Association, substantive gender equality should be amended to include reference to equality in terms of outcomes, to accord it with the definition of substantive equality. This is currently not in alignment with the definition of substantive equality, in that it does not speak to equality in terms of outcomes. Generally, substantive equality is refers to equality on substance rather than in form. The department is of the belief that in fact includes the outcome, and it also includes substance, so it will still consider extending the definition. The definition says equality in law and in fact. In fact means the outcome, the reality of that person. So it's in terms of the law and in terms of the reality. But we don't object to adding outcome. Then we'll have to look at how do we, the state translator will have to look at how do they remove fact and put in other things that don't consider, including the outcome. But if the state law advisor feels law and fact are sufficient, we don't have a problem too, because law and fact include outcomes. It's just a matter of how it's semantics. So women empowerment, this should be amended by including the definitions of substantive equality. This will align the bill with the constitution. The definition needs to be qualified in the context of the constitution and the bill. The department will consider extending the definition to cover substantive equality. And when we say the department will, what we're trying to say is that we don't object. The state advisor can amend it. POA, the South African Liaison Office, Community Law Center, and the UWC, submit that gender, the definition of gender, the current definition is limited. It fails to include LGBTI. When you look at the definition of gender, it's the way it was, it's how the roles and responsibilities are ascribed to women and men in terms of culture. So culture doesn't ascribe any responsibility and roles to the LGBTI. So rather than amending the definition that is current, we would rather include the definition of LGBTI under gender discrimination to show how gender, the definition of gender discriminates against the LGBTI. So here we the department objects to amending gender, but agrees to amending gender discrimination to indicate, because normally gender discrimination would say discrimination in terms of how the roles and responsibility are ascribed to women. We will include LGBTI and other factors. But the department objects to amending gender as it is. The Center for Applied Legal Studies, Women Empowerment, use the UNFPA definition, which reads as follows. Women empowerment has 5 components. Women's sense of self-worth, their right to have and to determine choices, their right to have access to opportunities and resources, their right to have the power to control their life, both within and outside the home, and ability to influence the direction of social change to create a more just social economic order, nationally and internationally. Their reason is that while nothing that the bill refers to, while noting that the bill refers to the Constitution, Section 92, the term must be clearly defined in a manner that articulates the Ministry's understanding of women's empowerment and the ways in which the proposed positive measures will meet the needs of women, address inequality, and remedy historically definitions. The department doesn't object to amending this. The department supports the recommendation to be incorporated in the current definition. set a new definition of discrimination against women to be defined according to Article 1 of CEDAW. The term shall mean any distinction, exclusion or discrimination made on the basis of sex which has the effect or purpose of impairing or nullifying the recognition, enjoyment or exercise by women irrespective of their marital status on the basis of equality of men and women, human rights and fundamental freedoms, the political, economic, social, cultural, civil or any other activity. CAF urges the department to consider including a clear definition of discrimination. The department objects because the department doesn't use discrimination against women in the body. If you define the terms that you use in the body of the legislation. Was that additional designated bodies, private designated bodies provide the definition or criteria to be used when designating public and private bodies. The department will consider providing the criteria under the application of the bill, new section 2.4, to be introduced to cover the criteria for designation. The department could align the criteria that is used in the Employment Equity Act for the threshold, the 5 million or 150 employees, but the drafters will decide or they will consult with the department, but the department doesn't object to the criteria of the designation being defined. CAF suggests that a new term, intersectional and multiple forms of discrimination, be included. It is not used in the body, so we cannot define something that is not in the body. CAF suggests that we add a new term, meaningful participation of women. And the department doesn't object to that. Justice Alliance of South Africa, private body, churches that do not carry on trade should be excluded as they don't fall under subsection A and B. Some may fall on. The department doesn't object to the exclusion of churches and charitable organizations in the definition. The department suggests the inclusion of the exclusion of public benefit organizations as defined in the Income Tax Act. For South Africa, private body should exclude churches as indicated that the department doesn't object. Business women associations, the definition of discrimination must be deleted. The bill refers to the definition in PECUDA. It is better not to use separate definitions by relying on constitutional definition of discrimination. The definition of discrimination in PECUDA is broad enough and is aligned to Section 9. So the department doesn't accept the BWA suggestion. Legal Resource Center and BWA. Substantive gender equality, this definition must be deleted or amended. The reason is that the definition does not cover what is generally regarded as substantive gender equality. The department doesn't object to amending that definition. Tswalana, many of the definitions in the bill are weak, unclear, and seem contrary to the promotion of women's empowerment. These include terms like gender equality and gender mainstreaming. The definition of gender mainstreaming is aligned to the SADC protocol. The definition of gender equality will be amended. Those that will align just indicated earlier on, those that will align with international instruments will recommend that they are kept so that even the reporting, when the country reports to those institutions, it reports in an aligned way. Power, women empowerment should also include the advancement of women by other legislation, international and regional treaties. The department will align the definition to the UN FPA as indicated earlier on. LRC, Low Resource, Legal Resource Center, gender definition is not aligned to the one provided in the Constitution, and the bill excludes LGBTI. The department doesn't object. The definition may be reviewed to include LGBTI. Vodacom, define designated private body and designated public body. The department doesn't object to define the designated private body and designated public body. Vodacom, define decision-making structures. The department doesn't object. The department suggests that the department suggests to revise the definition to include in the text decision-making position and decision-making position and structure in order to cover both formal and informal sectors. One of the complaints or common complaints from the submissions was that the bill looks like it's focused on the formal sector, not the informal sector. When we divide decision-making structures into decision-making position and decision-making structure, the structures could be community structures, could be whatever structures in the communities or in churches or wherever, where they take decisions. So it would be position for the formal, but structures would include both formal and informal. Center for Constitutional Rights, gender equality must be revised. Definition contradicts clauses 3 and 4.1c of the bill. There is no contradiction as the term progressive realization is also referred in the Constitution. The department is of the opinion that it will be unrealistic to expect designated bodies to meet 50% representation immediately. Center for Constitutional Rights. The definition of gender equality appears to conflate women's empowerment with gender equality and has different meaning to that in PEPUDA. As indicated earlier on, it is aligned to the SADC protocol. Retailers Association. Gender mainstreaming definition must be adjusted to cover gender issues rather than other broader concerns that, although legitimate, but beyond objectives of the bill and what is generally regarded as forming part of the bill. Also, gender mainstreaming is the definition of gender mainstreaming is aligned to that of the SADC protocol, mm-hmm. of which South Africa is a member of and has signed the protocol. Center for Law and Society supports clause 1 and states that it remains an important and admirable goal. What women in agriculture and rural development support the clause. Clause 2, all those were inputs to the definition clause 1. Clause 2.
Sorry. We continue until the end.
Maybe before we proceed, can we afford members an opportunity to get some, you know, clarity, seeking questions with regards to what has been presented this far? Honorable Member Moses.
Chairperson, whilst the presenter was presenting, I wanted to interject on slide 4 of page 4. Justice Alliance, the last role of South Africa on reasons, the last column. The department does not object to exclusion of churches and charitable organizations in the definition. The department suggests that you said exclusion, so I got a bit confused. Is it the inclusion of public benefit organizations or exclusion? So the type. Yeah, so it's exclusion. Okay. On page 3, second last row, Power and South African Liaison Office Community Law Center. The LGBTI do not conform to roles ascribed socially, and to put something like cultural as well. Yeah, on the reason. I just want you to explain again, because I got a little confused when you say in culture. I understand that we don't have, you know, culturally the LGBT and all that. But now that we have these people, they are there, they're in existence, what does it mean for the department in terms of their inclusion? Because my worry is that as a country, we haven't defined certain things very clearly to say, is prostitution legal, is prostitution not legal? In 2010, it seemed legal. Now, all of a sudden, you know, we don't know where we stand. So as a country, I think we need to define certain things before, you know, we even include them in this type of legislation. So just give me a clue as to the department, what are you going to do about this? Because we do have these people, they are here, you know. How are you going to try and include them, whether it's legal or not?
Maybe in response to the latter, I think we should also make us to understand as to when we talk about men and women, is that the understanding that we are excluding that LGBT? You know, one just wants to understand, because one is of the view that they are included in the men, they are included in women. So can you really clarify that? Because then it would mean that each and every time we talk about men, we must include the LGBTI. Every time we talk about women, we must also include it. And our understanding is that they are included, because we are not discriminating, you know, against them, because they are outside. Yeah? You know, the same as persons with disabilities, you know. Because they are there under men, they are also there under women. So just clarify us. And before I leave here, can you also assist us in, you know, the acronyms sometimes, like for instance, CALS. CALS, what does it stand for? CALS. CALS, please, can you tell us in full?
Is it Center for Applied Legal Studies?
Thank you. Also, before you respond, I still have one more hand.
Chair, I just have one question on page 1, on the preamble, where we say no inclusivity. What does it mean? Does it mean there is no preamble, or the preamble that we have has been accepted? It's acceptable. Can you clarify what do you mean that there are no inputs?
Thank you.
it's about under the last column under slide 4, where the department does not object to the exclusion of churches and charitable organizations in the definition. The department suggests the exclusion of the public benefit organization as defined in the Income Tax Act of 1962. It has defined the public benefit organization. So as it is defined, it covers all the charitable organizations, but also the receiver of revenue has made it very clear that the churches or the public benefit organizations are excluded only as far as they are public benefit services. But if they have businesses or whatever, they have to comply. Just like when they have businesses, they have to pay taxes. So we've excluded them according to those lines. Page 3, gender. Column 3, under power and, was it power? On gender, the LGBTI. I think, firstly, as a department, we have discussed it. We have also discussed the issue that you've just raised, that at the moment, some of the things have not yet been discussed as a country, or there's no legislation, they're not legalized. How do we incorporate them, or how do we now smuggle them into this legislation? But as you have said also, that those people are there. Do we ignore them, or do we say, you know, where they discriminate, do we prohibit discrimination? Those are some of the things. So as a department, which has to protect women, that's how we thought the inclusion of the definition of LGBTI in gender-based violence might be acceptable. Though we note that the Department of Justice has a task team that is looking into that. The Department of Justice is in the process of developing the hate crime bill, which would criminalize hate crimes. So as a result, we are not criminalizing or we're just saying they should benefit, because this is a women empowerment bill. It is a bill which prohibits discrimination on the basis of gender or other factors, just like the Constitution has already provided for. The Constitution has provided for in terms of sexual orientation, where it prohibits discrimination in terms of gender, other, and sexual orientation. So we took it from that angle.
So am I right to say that they are included?
Yeah.
Not okay, because the no in your row, it's like, no, we're not going to include them because they are not confined within the culture and socially, you know. So, okay, no, it's fine, then I'll change the no to yes, to say we're including them because of we cannot discriminate. Thanks. And what about the same point that talks to power on page 3? To say, when you check the decision by department, it says no, but the explanation says yes, we're going to include them because we're not supposed to ignore or discriminate against as per the constitution of the country. So I just pressed the no.
Can we go to the first slide? The first slide, where we started discussing the definition. The first slide, the first column, where Commission on Gender Equality and Trilog Project, International Liaison, Dialogue Researchers and SWET said all the definitions must include LGBTI. Then the department said the definition of gender-based violence would be amended to include acts of violence committed against LGBTI due to the actual or perceived sexual orientation or gender identity. However, when we got to gender, as the chairperson has already indicated, that when we say gender, it is not, when we say roles and responsibilities assigned to men and women,
they not either men or women, however their sexual orientation then make them to maybe to behave or to decide things differently or to wear differently. But if you are a lesbian, you are a female, but you choose to love other women rather than men. If you are a gay man, you are a mate, but you choose to love other men, but you are a man or you are a woman. So the gender roles and responsibilities that were ascribed, they ascribe to you the responsibilities as if you are a man, and yet you choose to be a woman. So that is why we are saying, when I started, I indicated that under gender discrimination, that's where we include the LGBTI. Just like we say, it discriminates against women, it also discriminates against the LGBTI because it ascribes certain responsibilities that they choose not to fall within that category. Women go get the water. Other women say, I don't get the water. I have a spouse who will fetch the water. So that is where the law came from under gender, that they are both males and women, but who choose to befriend them. Others are women who are hetero, others are homo, but all of them are women. So the gender part of it ascribes responsibility to all, which discriminates. That's where we said, when I indicated earlier on that we will include them under gender discrimination because it discriminates against them. No, we are not changing the definition of gender, but we will add in the definition of gender discrimination and gender-based violence because most of them are targeted because of their sexual orientation. Oh, I've already responded to the first question of the chairperson, whether when you say gender, do you refer to men and women or yes? Yes, I agree. Also, people with disabilities are women and men, but they have disabilities. That is why that becomes a factor that either disadvantages them, but they are women or men with disabilities. So even the LGBTI can address it in that way. The preamble, it means all the people who submitted input agree with the preamble. The preamble still that no one objected to the or even added anything that we have amended.
The bill applies to them as well. But as far as
the church is concerned or their religion is concerned, we cannot prescribe to them. We agree to that.
Through chair, this means that it also covers the input, the submission that has been made by, there was another lady or a man from Joshua something something. Yeah, I think he raised the same chance sharply. Thank you very much.
Just to add, Chairperson, even with the traditional leader, we include the council, which had to comply with the 50% representation. But in terms of Ubukosi, you know, being a traditional leader, they are born into that, so the bill doesn't include Ubukosi, just like with the churches, it doesn't include the church service. But with council, because that's where decisions are taken, the decision making structure, which affects community, then it has to comply. But in terms of Ubukosi, it's a different story. The Center for Constitutional Rights, Carlos Busa, they recommended that the department provide the criteria and guidelines to be used by the minister to designate private and public bodies. The department does not object to that. The department proposes that a criteria be provided for SNU clause, section 2, subsection 4, and will be aligned to the threshold outlined in the Employment Equity Act, because at the moment the Employment Equity Act is the only one that has a threshold. Other acts we've looked at, they do not have thresholds. So we'll align to that so that it doesn't create difficulties for companies when they comply or when they report. As the minister also indicated that even in terms of reporting, the reporting processes will be aligned. So this is to facilitate for that. CALS suggest that we insert a new definition of discrimination against women to be defined according to Article 1 CEDAW. The term shall... It has gone up instead of going down. I was wondering, I've already read it. The CGE bill duplicates, the CGE says bill duplicates some functions assigned to the CGE in terms of the CGE Act. And the department says no, there's no duplication. The ministry and the CGE have different roles and responsibilities. The mandate of the ministry is women empowerment, which is a means to gender equality. The ministry also facilitates the implementation of gender mainstreaming in the public and private sector. The ministry further develops guidelines and codes of good practice. The ministry conducts research, monitor and evaluate to develop policy. The ministry sets women empowerment and gender equality on the agenda of cabinet. The minister is a member of parliament, votes and places women empowerment on the agenda of parliament. Whereas the constitutional mandate of the CGE, it keeps going back to number 4. It wants me to go back there. Whereas the constitutional mandate of the CGE is to promote research, respect for gender equality and protect and develop the attainment of gender equality. The Commission of Gender Equality Act further affirms the independence of the Commission of Gender Equality and requires it to monitor and evaluate practices of organs of state at any level, statutory bodies or functionaries, public bodies and private business enterprises and authorities in order to promote gender equality. The Constitution states that the CGE is accountable to the National Assembly. Section 15(2) of the CGE Act requires the CGE to report annually to Parliament. I hope we are able to show that they sit at different matter. They both need each other. There's no duplication. In the report that you have, I have included that you see the report that Parliament has, the ad hoc committee report that was developed in 2000. But as a department, we are saying we are removing that section. There's no need for Parliament to refer to that report. So we're just attaching a memorandum dated 27 May 2010 on legal mandate of the CGE and the Minister. It was developed by the CGE, where the CGE was outlining what is the responsibility of the department and what is the responsibility of the CGE. So we believe that there's no duplication at all. Also, Chairperson, yesterday when I was sending documents, the Parliament email kept on rejecting or sending the note of not getting all the reports. I see that you didn't get all the annexures. I will give them to the to Nelly's. Some of the annexures that we have attached, because some of the we've attached this report, we've attached the statistics that some of the submissions had referred to, but I think they have not been received. Sonke, the employment equity and PEPUDA covers what the bill is addressing. The bill duplicates power.
What are you saying about what we have not received?
The annexure. The annexure. For example, here I'm referring to the memorandum of the CGE dated 27 May 2010, where they indicated what the responsibilities of the CGE were and what the responsibilities of the ministry were. No, I think that there are about two or three annexures that were not received. However, we do have them in the memory stick. We'll give them to you.
Thank you.
apology, I called Nelly twice, indicating that I've been trying to email the documents the whole day. I even used my private email, Yahoo, to send the documents, but they kept on coming back. I apologized and we accept the responsibility.
Can we take a break? I think the time is
now 1:15.
Can we take a break of 15 minutes so that those copies can be made available to members? And then we reconvene at 11. The time is 10:45. We'll take 15 minutes break so that they can make those copies and then reconvene at 11.